You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I stand for godliness. I stand for patriotism. I stand for sacrifice, duty, excellence, professionalism.
Team never quit radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. As always, thank you guys for listening and watching, and please hit that like and subscribe button if you'd like to see the show. So, we've got a very exciting guest for you today, and we'll get to him in just one second, but before we do that, let's kick it off with our weekly Patreon question. And this week, we have got, if you had to delete all of the apps on your phone, but you could only keep one, what would that app be?
That's a pretty good question, actually. You ever seen somebody, when they turn their phone on, there's five screens full of those things?
It's me. It's way more than five.
I love resources.
Yeah. I would probably keep Safari. I think you can use Safari for a number of things, and even...
Oh, your internet browser?
Yeah.
That's probably right.
Yeah. Like you can search things up, but you can also communicate with people through that. You could use your email through that. You could use a number of things just practically. That's what I'm thinking. You can search up scripture and all manner of things.
That's a good one that I didn't even think about, because I was thinking like developer apps. Yeah, I would probably use like a Google search engine or something. But I also love Uber Eats. Because there are days where I do not feel like cooking.
Oh, yeah.
And Marcus loves him a good steak. And Uber Eats will deliver from the best restaurants out here, all the way out here. And we're out in the country. We're not right in the city where everything's at our fingertips. So for us, it's 30 minutes to a steak restaurant, but they'll drive it out here with Uber Eats and I don't have to cook. So I think that's the one I'm going to go with.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going Instagram.
Really?
For sure.
Yeah. every app out there. That's the one you're going to go with?
I hate to say it, but I'm going Instagram.
I'm going to get a sponsorship out of that or something. I can't.
Well, hold on. Explain it a little bit.
I mean, with now Instagram, you can even do AI, so you can it can act as your Google search. Plus, I like to socialize. You can communicate with everybody on there. You can use that as a text machine, so you can just pretty much do everything. Plus, get to see and meet new people, share your story a little bit.
Hunter is the most social human I know. He makes a friend with everybody he meets.
So I'm trying to do that.
I could totally see that that is yours because you are so good at making friends and keeping those friends and keeping a relationship with them.
Yeah, and that's one of the best ways of how to keep the relationship is through that.
I'm going to have to go with YouTube.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Marcus loves YouTube.
Because, I mean, you can pull it up. There's people on there. You can watch them doing something. All the videos teach you how to do anything. You got any questions, you type it in there. There's a video for it. And the internet browser is a good one. But I like to read it, but I also like to see it. If I can see somebody doing it and talk to me at the same time and mimic that, it's easier for – that's how I learn.
Okay.
And you also watch old movies on YouTube or any movie
Big
on YouTube.
Big fan of the YouTube, okay?
Yeah. it's so funny. He'll pull up – he'll be watching a movie and then I see a YouTube, like an ad come on and I'm like, what platform are we watching this on? And he's actually watching a full-length movie on YouTube.
Back when I was a kid, the movies – had commercials in the middle of them. That was kind of the break in between. You get up off the couch, haul butt into the kitchen and go to the restroom, and that's how they advertised. And it's just like that again. Then when HBO and all the high-definition channels came out, then there was no commercials. That was the big deal. That's why you got those.
Yeah,
you can watch a full movie with no interruptions.
So that's a good Patreon question. YouTube for Marcus, Safari for Colton, Uber Eats for me, and Instagram for Hunter.
So I think... besides Uber Eats, I mean, Safari can do both of those.
That's true.
I've used Instagram on Safari. I've used YouTube on Safari.
I know, but I just like seeing the app.
You can't get YouTube through Safari, right? Yeah. It's Chrome.
Safari. Okay, well, browser app.
Yeah, the browser app.
All right. That was a good one, Hunter.
And I just recently went to the DuckDuckGo. Have you tried that?
I have tried it. And we have, I believe it's my mother's aunt, but I just consider her my aunt. She uses DuckDuckGo. She's very, very conservative, and she loves it. She loves the fact that you can just delete everything at once.
I've had it for a couple months now.
Yeah,
it's not
That's
bad.
It's called your great aunt.
What is DuckDuckGo?
She doesn't feel like
what?
Great, you know. She doesn't feel like great grandmother. Yeah. It's not that high up. So
no, but technically,
she's just a great lady.
She's a great lady.
Aunt is your great aunt. That's just technically how you say that.
And she probably they're weird about that, bro.
What is that?
When it's your, so your parents' aunts and uncles. So
no,
like,
DuckDuckGo.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a browser.
It's a browser app.
Like, it's just like over Google.
Yeah, you could torch everything. It's pretty cool features in that. It doesn't track your movement, like so ads can't come falling in on top of you. And then it also has this feature that if you hit it, it burns everything that was in your phone that you were looking at. It literally has a flame that burns up.
What?
Like if you had 20,
you know about this?
No,
hell yeah.
Like if you had like 20 apps open, you just click in and get rid of all of them, start a new one.
Burns every one of them down.
I literally, if anyone wanted to know everything about me, they just have to grab my phone
that's what that is.
I have, I leave every browser open.
No,
I have.
Son, she's got like 8,000 emails sitting in one
I
of those.
I don't delete. The only emails I delete are junk, just to clear them out. But other than that, communication, unless I accidentally delete it, I do not intentionally delete any email or text. I have a gajillion texts from like the inception of this phone. I have every photo.
It's unbelievable. This is what we're dealing with.
I literally don't delete anything. So if anyone needs to find any information, they just have to kidnap my phone.
We get up in the morning, we grab our phones. They're all fully charged.
Yep.
Mine will go for a couple days. Hers is dead by noon.
Oh, by 3 every day.
Really?
Yeah. It could be even quicker. I mean, I've seen it go from fully charged to death at 10 a.m.
I'm kidding, man. Mine will last for days.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, my phone died again. Why?
Yeah.
What'd you do to it? What's it? What'd you feed that thing? What's in there?
Yeah, exactly.
I have everything.
She does. And every now and again, I need some information. I'm like, hey, you wouldn't happen to have some stuff from September.
And I have it.
She's got it.
Yeah.
Not only from September, but from September 2010. Yeah, like I have it. Actually, I can even go back to like 2005.
Right?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a little black box. It tracks every movement, everything you say. We were in the turned the bed down one night, and I asked her a question about something, and it answered me. The phone did.
The Siri.
The Siri answered me. I wasn't even talking to her. So, you know, there's that.
So how do you keep up with all that? How do you stay organized?
She just
I'm probably not the most organized person, but I do know where everything is.
How?
It's my miracle. Gift.
It's a okay. gift, man.
It's my
you
gift.
You know how we were talking about that earlier? Like, we got something, then you know you don't?
Yep.
Yep. Right?
Yep.
Like, I know I don't have that gift.
Oh, yeah.
But I am not your, like, typical organized person. But if you asked me, like, hey, can you get me such and such from whenever, I will find it. And I'll get it for you.
Okay.
So.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
All right. Colton. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yes.
This is a big deal. Your mama turning you loose out to the public like this, and I feel honored to be able to have you on here and talk about this.
Thank you.
Colton Kyle.
Yes.
All right.
I'm honored just to be here. I'm so grateful.
So we're going to get a little about your background, then we're going to introduce you to everybody. Does that sound like a plan?
Great.
All right, cool. So where were you born?
I was born in San Diego, California.
Were you really?
Yeah.
He didn't bring you home?
Well,
he couldn't. I was, you know, pregnant, and he was deploying. He was deploying 10 days later. But what did he do, Colton, with the dirt?
So yeah.
Oh, you had the dirt though. That's where I was going next with that.
He had his parents bring Texas soil to the hospital, and that was the first soil that my feet touched.
Because he is a great Texan.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Freaking great Texan.
Yep.
I've made my brother do the same thing. So tell me who your father is.
Chris Kyle, American Sniper, the legend. He has a couple monikers.
He does. He's got quite a few, actually.
Yep.
Right on. Yeah. Chris Kyle, the American Sniper, SEAL Team, Navy SEAL.
Yep.
They make movies and books about him. He's not with us anymore.
Correct.
And you're his son.
Yes, sir.
His only one.
Yes, sir. I hope so.
And you've got a sister.
I do have a sister.
You got a sister. What's her name?
Her name is McKenna.
All right. Yep. And your mom?
Taya Kyle.
Taya Kyle. Yep. One of the strongest ladies down here.
That's for sure. Yep.
Okay, so let's back this up.
Do you mind going back to your childhood any of that? Do you remember anything about your dad? Because I know my sister lost her mom at a young age, and there's a lot she mentally blocked out. Is it like that with you?
There is a lot I blocked out. That's not to say that I don't remember things. It's just I remember a few things that are ingrained, like I won't forget them. But
how old are you?
I was 8 years old.
8 years old, check. And your fondest memories of your dad?
Yes, I have a few, for sure. One of them being just average run-of-the-mill day, and he would come home from work through our garage and run it down the garage hallway, and he would pick us up and give us a hug. And that's the thing that I remember most about him is him being an awesome, awesome family man, father, and husband.
Because I wasn't married when I was in. I didn't have kids, anything like that. When he came home at the end of the day after work, always fired up?
You know, I don't remember if he was fired up necessarily. I mean, he was happy to see us.
That's what I'm saying.
Just yes.
Overall, you wouldn't know that what he was or what he did for a living?
No, but this was, I'm sorry, I'm talking about Kraft.
Yeah.
Okay. When he was already out and he was at Kraft,
okay,
and he would come home and see us. Before then, I don't remember. I can't think of a specific memory of running to see him after he's coming home from a deployment.
All right, check. All right. So growing up in the teams, you were real young when we were going through all the deployments and everything like that. All right, check.
But he was gone. And just speaking about deployment life and being a little kid, and you don't remember this, but like Teo was saying, he had to leave 10 days after you were born. I mean, a lot of people don't realize the family dynamic of that and the stress that that puts on families of just the deployment life. But Taya seemed to have held it together really well. And it sounds like, just from reading the books and from knowing your mom, that he was really good at keeping himself aware of what things were like at home, calling from wherever he was and checking in on y'all and that kind of stuff. So that, not all families are like that, that right. are military families. So he does seem like he was just a very well-rounded dad and looked after y'all even when he was gone.
Right. Absolutely.
Is that what you saw?
Yes. That's really all I saw. So I got to hear about all of his accomplishments and his prowess in war and battle and strategic thinking and everything that's valuable in a soldier. But I didn't experience any of those things. What I did experience was the great love from a great father. He was very passionate about being a father and a husband and a family man. And so that's what I got to see. I got to see a beautiful marriage and grow up with that until he was taken. And so that's how I remember him. And that's the Chris, that's the dad and the father that I knew. But it's very cool to hear all these things and obviously to know that legacy. And I think it's cooler that I didn't experience those things, that, you know, I didn't know him as a soldier. I think that's mm-hmm. important, because that wasn't his role to me. That was his role to his country and what he felt led to do. But once he was home, he was invested in being home.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, did you want to be in the military?
I did.
I was going to ask. Yeah. I was like, did that? Because I got the young ones now.
Yeah.
And just our lifestyle alone, I mean, it is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, by design, it's tough. But I try not to push that on my kids.
Right.
He was the same way.
Yes. In fact, he was almost the other direction.
I was about to say that. We kind of lean the other way.
Yeah. So he believed he had served more than enough for our family.
Both, right, yeah.
So that we definitely did not need to, because he knew, obviously, he was self-aware. He knew what he did and what people thought of him, and he knew there would be pressure. Are you going to go into the military? Are you going to go into the military? That's the limited presence that I've had on social media already. I've been asked that question a number of times, the most asked question, are you going to go into the military? And I grew up thinking that was really, really cool, and it is really, really cool. To feel and to hear all these stories. I mean, I have known and do know a number of SEALs and Special Forces.
Oh, you got a lot of uncles running around.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep. So, and I hear really cool stories. I also hear really traumatic stories, and I hear the immense pain and grief and suffering that it comes with to truly sacrifice. And I know what it costs at home. I know what it costs mentally and spiritually and all those things. So, I've discovered, I believe I have a different gifting, and that's not what I would bring to this world is service in that area. But I did for a while growing up think that was just the coolest thing you could possibly do. I have so much respect for that.
But you do have a gift in just the art of fighting.
I do train Muay Thai.
Yeah.
Yes.
When did you start that?
So I just started Muay Thai, not very long ago, like 4 or 5 months ago.
Oh, wow.
And I absolutely love it. I'm in love with it. But I would consider myself mental, emotional, spiritual fighter. I've never actually gotten into a real fight, so that's yet to be decided if I'm any good physically. I'd like to think I am.
Well, you want to train before you get into one.
Exactly. Exactly.
And Mike Tyson says it perfectly. He's like, everyone's got a plan to get punched in the face.
Yep.
Life does that by design.
Yep.
And I know your dad, he started training you even when you didn't, kind of like the Mr. Miyagi way. You yep. were getting taught
yep.
things that you didn't even know at a young age.
Oh, yeah. So I know plenty of things. Like you said, I have plenty of uncles running around. So everybody loves to teach me a thing or two here and there. So I'm very confident in myself and my abilities. I've never felt the necessity to use that. But I've trained a little bit of jiu-jitsu over, like, broken up probably a year total. So I'm certainly no martial artist, but I would love to one day be.
That's where you start.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. So I'm doing it now, and I love it. I'm not as committed as this is what I want to do, is be a martial artist. But it's one of the things I want to be practiced in at the very least.
That's so important that you say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one thing can't eat you. You can put your whole focus into it. And that's a beautiful thing. The guys who go to become coaches, teachers, masters in that whole discipline and train that back. If you know that that's not you, but you still have to have that certain.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Discipline to get through life. It's very, very important. What does mom think?
She's all for it, actually.
Okay.
And so, which I'm appreciative of. And she enjoys that I like to train and that I'll be physically capable. And it means physical training in the martial arts arena means so much more than just being physically capable. If anything, you train your mental strength more than you train your physical strength. And she sees the value in that and she's in full support of it. So I'm blessed in that regard.
What are some of the most valuable lessons that you took away from what happened to you growing up? If you had to say something to a kid, like, hey, look, this is something that I learned is important.
Okay, so I would speak differently to a kid going through it than I would.
That's why we're doing
anybody
this.
Else. Yeah.
Most of the damage that we have to sustain going through life, so you turn around and teach that kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You, fortunately, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, I'll get it fortunate because it turned you into a man early.
Right.
Right, so and now we're here.
Yeah.
So what advice do you give to those?
I saw this beautiful thing on Instagram like yesterday, the day before, but this young child, he was probably 10. He had gotten cancer and he was getting interviewed probably by his father. I don't know exactly by who. And he said, what do you think? How do you feel towards God that this has happened to you? And he said, I'm grateful that it happened to me rather than one of my two sisters because I know I'm strong enough to do it. And so it's giving me chills just talking about it because I've never really felt that way, honestly. But now I have the opportunity to look at it from that space that I'm grateful that God has given me the tools and the people and the resources that I'm going to be more than okay. No matter how many stupid decisions I make, I'm going to be more than okay. And I can pass along the truly vital knowledge to people who will need it at that time. And so I have been very, very grateful. I've just never seen it as I'm glad it was me rather than someone else. But I honestly do feel that way because I've said this, but I think I'm a better man today than I would have been had I not lost my father, especially at the time that I did, because it was obviously tough and tragic and you wouldn't want to wish it upon anybody. But when you think of, if you're going to train a martial artist, you want to put them through their most rigorous and difficult training possible so that they're prepared to take on anything. And so if God wants a spiritual warrior, he's going to allow challenges to happen to him. And that doesn't mean that he controls the evil or pushes it on anybody, but he's going to allow free will and sinful nature to make these awful things happen to people. And he's going to give them all the tools that they need and give them everything that they need. All they have to do is show up and be willing to do the work to grow through that. And so he's certainly given me everything I could possibly need to grow and mature and do it quickly and have people to support me in that in every way, in every step of the way doing that. So what I can then pass on to someone else is I'll just, there's a few things. One is take it one day at a time. That's all you can do is just
explain that.
Mm-hmm. Is just take the one day. So you wake up and it doesn't matter how you feel, but you need to just show up. And as long as you're just showing up and surviving the next 5 seconds, then the next minute, the next 24 hours, you're going to keep making it and you're going to keep making progress. And if you allow God to work in you and in your heart, then he will. And that's all you can do. You can't live tomorrow. You can't live in the past physically. So all you can do is just show up and be present in the day. You guys were talking about it with my mom and sister, but gratitude, it's so important to see all the things that you do have. And so I was blessed with it. It just, to me, in my head, I see this mental image of a tidal wave that overcompensates for the loss that I had. And so many people don't have that. They don't have a legacy to inherit, a brand to inherit. They don't have so many people that cared so deeply about this person that they lost that they're willing to step in and go way past what they need to compensate for that. But you do have things to be thankful for. You can be thankful that you're alive and that you're feeling whatsoever, that God has given you that gift, that you have the opportunity to be with other people, that you have food, that you have water, that you have shelter, that you have clothes on your back. And many of us, especially you and me and anyone who could be listening to this, has more than that. They have a device to listen to this, to watch it. They have, I'm assuming, a roof over their heads, and they have people that care about them and that love them. And the list goes on and on and on. And it's how much do you want to open your mind to what do you have, and then truly be grateful for that, because you're not owed any of it. God gave us life, and we're not even deserving of that, really. And so to get anything more than life is just such a blessing. And to be able to see it that way is not easy.
It's not.
No, it's not easy.
It couldn't have been at 8 years old. You wouldn't even have any idea what we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what do you say? How do you get through that?
As a child, like at what point did you start leaning on faith? Because that does come with age, but was it instilled at a young age? Like, were you always taught that you have God to lean on, or is that something that you got when you got a little older?
I mean, I grew up in a Christian household. My parents mm-hmm. both had their own relationship with Jesus, and that was very beneficial for me to see. And more than that, what you can see, especially as a kid, is you don't see people's relationship with Jesus. Nobody does. But you see what that does in their lives. And so what that did in my dad's life and what that did in my mom's life, seeing that. And then having so many people that were willing to step in and fill the gap and father the fatherless has meant so much. One person that has really led me in a better understanding of the word and in reading my Bible, of understanding theological concepts and that sort of thing, has been Bill Wayburn, Sheriff Bill Wayburn of Tarrant County.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in Texas knows who he is.
Yep, yep. He's a very popular figure.
He's popular.
And so he has been someone that I've gone to time and time again. Like, I don't, as you know, with important things like what does it mean to really be saved and how do you know that you're saved and that kind of thing, to things that are not necessarily so important, but that still interest me. Like, what was the historical context of this letter that Paul wrote, or what does that mean? That kind of thing. And I've gone to him with all of it, and nobody's going to know all the answers to those things. But to be able to go to somebody and trust that they're going to do their best for you and that they're not going to lie to you and say, I know, and this is such and such, but, oh, I don't know this, but this is what I do know. I'll look at this. But seeing the way that people lived and the way that they loved my family has been the biggest part that reflects on Jesus and his redemptive abilities. It's tough to put it into words, but I've seen it in people. And then I've had people that were willing to take the extra time to teach me.
So you say it's important for adults to be adults, to act like that, to teach the ones below them?
Yeah, I mean,
it's important, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Seriously.
Yes. No, it is.
I mean, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I'm bringing this up.
As right. a society.
Like, the freaking adults aren't acting like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking you, from somebody from a younger age, when you look at us acting like fools, it means something. And then when you see the ones that act like mature adults that actually help you, it's more beneficial, correct?
Yes.
When we act like that to teach our kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Very beneficial.
I just needed to hear it from you. Yes. I need everybody else to hear it.
Yes.
Were there any times in high school or your even junior high that you really struggled with your faith, or have you always just had a really good foundation on keeping that relationship strong?
That is a good question. I would not say there are times that I've struggled with my faith necessarily, which I think is kind of a foreign concept to many people. Many people struggle with their faith, and maybe I'm just not seeing it the same way, but I've definitely not been as strong in my faith as I have been for a long time. It's been a gradual thing, and just the more knowledge that I have, I'm a very, I would tend to say cold and analytical, is the way my mind works. And so the more knowledge that I have in front of me of here's the proof of God and here's what he does and here's stories of this, this, and this, and then evidence to back it up. I've had many people that are very knowledgeable in what they're talking about, that has been very influential to me. So my faith over the years, I'd say, has grown immensely in just the past few years. Just like I'd say probably the past 3 or 4 years, I've really grown the most, and I've never struggled with unbelief or being mad at God necessarily. And to be honest, I can't tell you why, because I think that most people go through that, and that's what I've heard. I've had this understanding that God didn't take my father. He allowed it to happen, and I've seen the good that it has brought through it. And so to be able to ask those questions without emotions, necessarily, to ask this question almost as a gotcha. Well, if God is all-knowing and all-powerful, then why do bad things happen? Gotcha. Instead of asking those questions, being like, how is God all-powerful and all-knowing, and why do bad things happen? And truly asking for the knowledge of, explain this to me because I want to know. That's been my thought process. And then it's like, oh, well, because he actually can't be, you know, so he's actually a terrible God and he doesn't exist and that sort of thing. If somebody were to have said that and backed it up with good evidence, then I would have felt angry. And then I would have really struggled with it. But like I said, I've been very blessed with knowledgeable biblical teachers that have guided me through that. So kind of asking questions without assuming things, I guess.
That's a tough place to be. Most people don't have that kind of cognitive function.
Yeah, and I'd say that's one of my gifts for sure, because I can recognize that's not a normal thing. That's not an easy
thing. That comes with age.
Easy thing to do.
Normally elders have that.
Yeah, so very blessed. And I think that's been role modeled for me for sure. It's not something that you just necessarily know or have, but it's been something that I've picked up on, especially from my mom. And like I said, those uncles and Bill Wayburn and these many people that have stepped in to fill the gaps that are very emotionally mature, no matter the age range, but that have been able to see, well, instead of being mad at somebody or something, let's find out what actually happened. And just that situation and that perspective on life from a godly worldview is, let's not be mad until we know what happened. Let's understand how he works and what he does and why he would do those things, and then let's feel and evaluate from there.
But you got a great mama. Yes. She backfilled your dad's absence with some freaking studs.
Yes.
Like not some dude from the chug and puke that just was worthless in hell.
That's true. That's true.
Because that happens.
Yes, it does. It does.
And that is nothing against them either, women that do that, man. It's just, you didn't have that problem.
Right.
Your mom squared that shit away quick.
Yes, she did. She's very, very strong.
I'm a witness of that.
Yeah. Eliminating all bad influences.
Because they came in left and right.
Yep.
Came in left and right.
Mm-hmm. So where do you see yourself growing? I mean, faith is something you always grow, no matter how old you are. It's something that you always practice and work on and grow. And do you see yourself even taking it as far as going to school in that? Or what are your thoughts on future with your faith?
Yes, I do want to go to school, and I want to get my doctorate in apologetics. That's what I'm probably most passionate about, is my faith, but then apologetics. And so I really do enjoy theology. And so if you don't know the difference, forgive me if you do, but I'll explain it anyways. Theology is the study of God. And so obviously from a Christian perspective, what is God like and what does he do and why does he do those things? And apologetics is explaining to the unbeliever, this is why the Christian God is the most reasonable explanation to life and to why you're here and what gives you purpose and that sort of thing. And why does it make sense that we should believe in God? And it's more of an evangelizing, it's an evangelical tool for the analytical mind is what apologetics is in my mind anyways, because you can evangelize without any evidence necessarily. And that's what some people, some very famous theologians
do that. Only the good ones.
Yeah.
Or bad ones that have bad intentions. And
oh, you can spot them.
Yeah.
They cover themselves with everything in between. So you look at that, and you can kind of hear what they're saying. But the ones that are really good at it, man, they'll deliver a message on you without you even knowing it.
Yep.
Because just like the military, there's bad guys in the military. There's bad guys in the faith arena. Yep. Like, there's evil everywhere, mm-hmm. infiltrated in every category of person. But if you really immerse yourself in the intellectual side too, you will be able to spot who those bad ones are. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about what schools you want to go to?
I've considered a few. So I'll explain to you what my situation is now and why that matters. But I've taken a gap year. I graduated high school last year, and this school year is just coming to an end for most of my friends. But I've taken this year, and I'll continue to take the summer and probably move forward not going to school for the time being as I'm working on American Sniper and doing everything that I can do there and seeing, okay, if I start the next phase of my life where I'm working full-time and I'm able to support myself and hopefully very soon my girlfriend then will then be wife, then what does that leave me time for?
Does she know that?
She knows that, yeah.
Let me tell you something.
You just rabbit-holed this.
consigliere to your ass, all right? Okay. You're going to stay on the path. I know you're bodybuilding. You look great. You're a Muay Thai fighter. You better know more than that.
No, understand me? No more than what?
Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, and everything you got in between, man, because all these uncles down here are designed to keep your ass on track.
Yes.
Your mama did a great job. You're a full-blown man now. So I'm excited to see your path.
Thank you. Oh, yes.
This might include marriage in the near future.
You kidding? Does she know that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Dude, I can't believe you've grown up that fast, man. That's a big step.
It is.
You know that?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I do. Yeah.
I'm just busting your chops a little bit, man. Yeah. Because I want you to, I teach Hunter this too, man. First 40 years of a man's life, you're trying to figure out the man you're not.
We might have gone too far with Hunter because he is 26 and does not have a girlfriend.
Yeah,
so.
The family had 0 to 40 year old wife, no kids.
I mean,
man.
Y'all you're did this to me.
Shots fired. Yeah, shots gotta, fired.
Yeah. She does that.
Yeah.
Well, does your mom do that to you?
No.
She doesn't? That's good. She does. Mel will fire some over the bow fast, man.
Yeah.
It's funny to watch.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
.com/TNQ. That's GoodRx.com/TNQ.
I
I'll do that too, but I got something to say here about Colton. So I remember this so clearly. Like, we talk about discipline. His discipline is next level. Like, it's just crazy. And I remember we were talking one time about Chris saying, like, I was very tearful saying, I'm so glad he got to do all the things he wanted to do before he died. You know, like, I rest in that. And I said, you know, Colton, have you gotten to do all the things you wanted to do so far in life? And I think he was like 15, 16, maybe 14. I don't know. Anyway. And he said, he wants to go skydiving. That's one thing that he hasn't gotten to do. That's on you, Marcus, Uncle Marcus. So anyway, but then I said, well, what about, and I mean, you know, I said, what about sex? Like, wouldn't you want to have sex before, like, if the world was going to end tomorrow, you know, wouldn't you want to do that? And he looked at me so seriously and he goes, Mom, I don't think God would like that. And therefore I would not like that. Like, if he doesn't like it, I don't like it. And I was like, dude, you're the coolest guy I've ever met. And so then, but here's the thing. So he's with this
God,
girl.
God, what that made you feel like?
Oh, God. Yeah, it was totally like, oh, wow.
Because it made me feel
bad. Yeah, I'm trash.
I was like, well, those don't sound like bad options.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So then I mean, like, here's a guy, you know, and Colton, you can maybe ask them to edit this out later if you don't want it. But I'm thinking, they're so faithful and they're so disciplined. And yet he's so real about, like, it is so hard to wait until you're married. And, like, what, you know, oh. But he's committed and they're committed and he's so disciplined in everything he does. And so, you know, he's like, man, it's so hard to think those people are just a couple years older than me and they're getting to have sex. And I'm like,
this generation's got that, man. They're locked on.
They're so good about it. I don't even think I knew that was like a thing. I don't think I knew that people did that.
Until you see him.
Yeah.
Because he's conviction in his eyes. Like, yes. Like, he's serious about, like, our generation, we...
I have a theory.
And she's a gem, by the way. She's like ridiculously cool. Yeah.
We also didn't have the internet or iPhones or anything. So we just fooled around with each other.
No one was around our generation, okay? We got cars early. Everyone was drinking.
That's what we did for fun.
I mean, oh my God. I can't believe we lived.
Do you agree with that?
I completely agree with you.
Like, we didn't do the godly things because we needed entertainment.
Oh man, it's different. That's one way of saying it.
I mean, you definitely are a lot more disciplined, and I think a lot of the kids in this generation are a lot more disciplined because they have so much knowledge, mm-hmm. and a lot more than we had at that age, where it took us growing up and learning.
You understand that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you guys have all the knowledge that we could possibly give you at your fingertips. You don't have to go to a library. You don't have to ask somebody for it. It's right there. What you don't have is the experience that goes into learning that knowledge. And that's what we had to get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had to go to a rich kid's house for it to borrow the encyclopedia.
So you guys, y'all's generation, definitely a superpower. Information is power. So,
yeah. Well, what you lose with that easy access is the work ethic to
boom,
get
right
it.
There.
So we're so conditioned to having everything so easily accessible that when we have to spend time, and by time, I could spend 6 months. Nobody wants to spend 6 months on anything to get better at anything. It's not easy and it's not natural. I mean, it feels like, okay, I got to get up and do this again today, and I'm going to have to do it again and again and again for years and years and years. Whereas that would have been natural for you because that's been role modeled and nothing was instant. Mm-hmm. You didn't have anything just like that. You worked for everything, or at least it felt that way, I imagine. So it's definitely a trade-off.
That's a great point you just made. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great point.
Yeah, because we definitely have the work
ethic. How do we fix
ethic?
That? Because we need a little bit of both to make a human work. Because there's satisfaction that comes in with working for it. You know that yep. now. Like in the weight room, and most of your generation too, people who go in and exercise after a while, you see the results. Mm-hmm. But with the information, how smart y'all are, and how fast you process things, a lot of times, man, y'all go through it so fast that you miss the emotion part, yep. the yep. feeling part of it, which is what we're all about. Like, we love that part.
Yeah,
you guys are all in it for the mental, like, grasp.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's a huge difference between us. Mm-hmm.
Colton, also speak to, like, the. I mean, I think even with bodybuilding, where you think you go to the gym and you do all this stuff, but there's a huge temptation for a lot of young people. They want it faster, so they use steroids, right? Like, more, I think more than they ever have in the past. So it's part of that speed thing. I think it's an important thing that you guys are talking about, where you can have discipline, but they want it faster at any cost, drugs,
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. Y'all yeah. move so fast.
I remember getting my very first job where I actually earned a paycheck, and I don't remember exactly how much it was an hour. I want to say like $4.50 or something. And I worked my butt off after school. I was still in high school. I would leave school and go work. And I did that Monday through Friday. And I, you got paid every 2 weeks. And I was so excited to get my first paycheck. And after taxes, it was maybe $100. It was not a lot of money. But at the time, I was so excited about that. Like, I felt like I earned, I did. I did earn it. It's not a feeling, but the feeling of working for something, even if it's little, it's very rewarding. And that is something that's missing nowadays, is with this whole instant life style that our generation created with the internet.
Yeah, we did this to y'all.
Yeah. I mean, our generation created that. The people who made the internet are our age.
Yeah, it's us. We did that.
So it is interesting to see the shift in how it's affected your generation and Hunter's generation. But it's not all bad. I think that there are some good things that have come out. And I mean, obviously you are a very impressive young man.
Thank you.
So, and I'm not just saying that because I love you and I love your family. I am genuinely impressed with who you've become.
Thank you.
What is it that you want to build with American Sniper, with that brand? What's that hunger and drive that you want to see it become?
I want to see American Sniper become, I would consider it already a legacy brand, but a legacy brand meaning, if you look at some of the longstanding brands, I'll just take, for example, the first thing that came to my head, so Coleman is like grills, and now they do coolers and all kinds of things. So that was born out of a guy following his passion, doing whatever. But it's still here and it's still doing the same thing. And you like it because it's been around for so long. It's trusted. And
American brand.
And it's American. And I want American Sniper to be the same thing. So I'm passionate as well about the firearm and tactical industry. And I would love to get into that soon after. And then when you buy apparel and when you buy range bags, when you buy these things, you're saying, I'm buying these. Obviously, they're going to be lower dollar item things compared to guns. And I would love to do silencers and stocks and all that kind of thing. But you're saying, this is what I stand for. I stand for godliness. I stand for patriotism. I stand for sacrifice, duty, excellence, professionalism. And this is what I'm representing when I'm wearing this. And I support this brand that they've done this and they've stood here. And this is what they mean. And when I use an American Sniper gun, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm not compromising on reliability, on quality. I'm standing with America and with what I believe America is and should be. And it's not, you know, none of us are exactly the person that we want to be or have done all the things that we wish we would have done. And it's the same thing with America. I mean, we're not exactly what we want to be, but we love America because we love what we have the capability to become and what we started with and what we want to do with it. So this brand gives back. This brand cares about our servicemen and women and our first responder community. And we recognize the sacrifice that they've made and we're giving back to them. American Sniper is giving a portion of the proceeds to TAC-F, which is their entire purpose is servicing these service marriages and giving them the tools that they need. And you guys talked about this. You understand that. But it's so important to give back to these people that sacrifice more than we could give back. I mean, you sacrifice part of yourself on the inside and something that you can never get back. And while you do get veteran discounts and you get police discounts and all these kinds of things, it's never going to repay that. But it's saying, hey, we care. We see you and we see what you've done. And that's part of what I want American Sniper to be, is a legacy brand that's stands on these values. This is what Chris Kyle was. This is his name that becomes American Sniper. This is what he cared about. This is his duty. And this is what I aspire to be. This is what I care about. And by using this gun, by using this range bag, by wearing this shirt, you know exactly who I am. You know what I care about. You know what I'm passionate about. And and I'll stand by it.
Have you started talking to different firearm builders and the back end of that to make that happen?
I've started smaller conversations. So, you know, you got shocked. I'm going to propose when I feel like I can support both of us. And so in doing that right now, I'm trying to promote the merchandise and that sort of thing. So, once I feel like the merchandise is established and I have the ability, because I mean, firearms are expensive, you know, immensely mm-hmm. expensive. And I want it to be something that my family owns. I don't want some private investor to come in and own me, essentially, mm-hmm. or own the brand or do what they want with it. So it's going to be something that takes time. And we know people, we obviously have connections, and you guys know plenty of people. And it's just the scaling, you know, mm-hmm. not being able to onboard all of that right now. But as soon as I can, I want to.
So in order to get that, you need to grow the apparel brand in order yes. to raise enough money in order to build your first yes. gun. Or are you looking at long range guns, or are you looking at pistols, or both? Or
ideally it would be rifles, mm-hmm. but I think it would be so cool to do it all. Obviously, in an idealistic world, I do everything, but rifles would be the priority.
You're in a different position than everybody else.
Right.
Your name's already out there. Your dad kind of laid a foundation for you. You're stepping into it. I mean, something's already kind of built, but you've got to maintain it. What does that feel like?
It's a blessing.
That's a great attitude to have.
Yeah. You know, there's some pressure that comes with it, but like I said, I've been well equipped just by other people's acts of kindness and through what God's done in my own heart. I'm more than prepared. And so it's not so much the pressure as it is I'm hungry and excited to see everything that I can do. And I think I'm a visionary. So I see the future and everything, and I'm very excited about that. And so then that does make it difficult. Okay, now I have to do this small piece of what's right here in front of me to get there. But I see the end goal, and I'm very excited about that. And so what I'm trying to do, and what I'm getting better at, is just enjoying where I'm at right now. And obviously, American Sniper, like you said, world renowned. Everybody knows the name American Sniper.
Bro, everybody thinks Bradley Cooper's your dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen that dude?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, your dad did a lot of good stuff, man. He hooked you. I mean, you kind of got hooked up all the way down.
Yep.
From mom, dad, all the way down.
Yep.
What's it like to be you? You're a young man. What's it like to be you? When you get up in the morning, you go out, what's it like? Is there pressure in that? I'm curious. What's it like to be you?
So I would say there's not pressure, because I'm a very confident person. I've been very confident for a long time.
Who gave you that?
Well, I guess semantically, God. But it's been instilled from God through my mom.
Okay.
Yep.
He put it in there, but somebody has to hammer that home.
Right. Yep. So
So I think one of the things that's interesting when you say that is we kind of went to great lengths at our house. There was nothing American Sniper. Even when Chris was alive, you know, we just kind of kept it like, let the kids right. make their foundation in who they are. We didn't want them to have a confidence in themselves based on who he is, yep. right? So maybe you could speak to that and then say, like, what it is like to be you. But I think that hopefully...
Because now you're going into it. What right. she kept you from the entire time, you're stepping straight into that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. thanks. Okay.
Yes. And so that's why I feel like I'm so confident, is because I'm not trying to live up to be my father. I'm not trying to step in and fill his shoes. I don't have any desire to be a Navy SEAL anymore. And that was very intentional, being hidden from the public eye. And the friends that I have, some of them knew of my father, and some of them didn't. They had no idea until years later. They would find out and be like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. Like, why didn't you tell me? It's like, it didn't matter. And so it was very intentional growing up being, I'm Colton Kyle, and I'm just going to be Colton Kyle, and whatever Colton Kyle can be, he will be. And then these are the values that are important because of our faith. And this is what, so this is what I care about. And it's, like I said, my dad made it clear, you know, you don't need to go into the military. So I've, if there were other people, that weren't as close to me, I think I would have felt pressure, without having the right people saying, you don't need to feel pressure preemptively. You don't need to feel pressure to do this, this, or this, and you just need to be who you want to be.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's not talking you out of it. For the listeners right. that are like, oh, well, they're shielding you from that. It's not that. It's letting you choose what you want to do. And it's not saying, no, don't do this because you'll never live up to that, or vice versa. It's not saying you need to do this because you need to try to live up to that. It's saying erase that and just be you. And that is super important. Marcus did the same thing with Hunter. He told him, you do not have to go to the military. You can go to college and do whatever. And there is no pressure. Now, if your best friend wants to go in, support him and praise him and lift him up to do that. But that's his choice. It's not, it's just based off of what you want with no pressure. So I think that is very important for people to understand, especially, you know, we talked about social media a little bit, but the people that are going on and saying, well, are you going into the military? Why aren't you doing this? And it's like, listen, it's not your path. Yeah. It's just not what you want. Maybe it will be one day. You never know. But right now that is not the path that you want to take, and that's okay. And I think you will equally create a legacy in your own right, whatever you decide to do. You will have the same amount of drive that your dad had and what he did, you will have in whatever category of career you want to do.
Yeah, you and your sister, that's not going to be a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. People were, if I told them, you know, I want to be a Navy SEAL, everybody thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
I remember we went to Disneyland one time, and there's one of those things where you're watching, it was a toys thing, the Toy Story and the aliens, and there's a screen, and then they ask the audience questions. And I got called on. They're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, Navy SEAL. And then, and it was like, oh, that's so cool. I literally remember.
It invokes that type of response.
Yeah. And people were all for it. And so absolutely, nobody was talking me out of it. People would say, if that's what you want to do, I mean, you're going to be great at it.
Yeah.
So, but that's, and like you said, if I were to try and fill those shoes, I never would, because simply because I'm not as passionate about that way of living my life. And so, like you said, so my outlook is I want to be a better man than my dad.
Good. That's perfect. That's what you want to be.
And that's, in my opinion, I think everybody should feel that way. You want to be better than whoever came before you because you have more tools than they did. And obviously times are different and you have your own struggles, and you're going to have all manner of things happen to you, whether they be your fault or somebody else's. But that you should strive to be better than your mother, better than your father in the ways that you can control and what you can do. And so what I am passionate about, which is apologetics and theology, and I do want to train and I want to be a bodybuilder. So my dad was a very functional trainer, and he was a big dude. He was strong.
He was corn fed looking. For those of you that never got a chance to know him. I'm sorry. That's just the way it was.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He's a big dude. But it's like,
you say corn fed, they know what you mean. That's why I said that.
Oh
like,
yeah. Oh
big,
yeah.
Thick.
Big old freaking thick sucker, man.
Yeah. And it's like, I might be able to live up to that in stature. He was taller than I was. I'm like 6 foot. I think he was 6'2". So I can't live that out, but that's not my passion anyways. I want to be a bodybuilder, so I want to be like a pretty boy, you know.
Well, you are kind of pretty, so I mean,
well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're almost not ugly enough to be a SEAL. You got to be good looking to be a SEAL, but it's a rough kind of ugly. You know what I mean?
So, but yeah, I'm going to be much more successful at following what I'm most passionate than I am trying to live up to something that I'm not that I am passionate about, but not as passionate. And I have all the respect in the world for the people who do go do that, because, you know, it takes a unique skill set, and it takes a unique, obviously we're all unique, but to be really successful in something, you have to be gifted in that. And so obviously you and my father are gifted in your own areas, which were so important in combat and everything around war. And my gifting is a little bit different. And that doesn't mean one's better than the other.
So are my kids. Mm-hmm. And I love that. When I see that in them, I mean, I see it. And your father and I fed off each other. That's what team guys do. And trust me, when we're looking down at our kids, the one thing we're saying is like, man, I hope it turns out better than me.
Yep.
Even though we tried to be the best we possibly could, we didn't make it. Mm-hmm. Y'all will, though.
Every parent wants their kid to be better than them.
Yeah, man. They should. Yeah. They should.
He would definitely want that.
Yeah.
Every good parent wants that. There's a lot
Every good parent wants their kid to be better than them.
It's instinctual. It happens as soon as you guys come on the ground.
Yeah. So when I think of y'all and with your mom and Chris, or with your dad, I envision, like you said, you envision like a tidal wave of help that came in. When I have this vision, when I'm thinking of y'all, I always feel like his spirit is sitting right next to y'all. Like he's not, just his physical body is gone, but I visualize him being with y'all. Do you feel that? Do you feel his spirit with you?
So that's very interesting. That's a good question because I know that my mom, or I believe that she feels that way oftentimes, and she says, oh, that must have been dad. And I'm not naturally inclined to think that way. I would say I'm not saying that's not the case.
You just don't feel it,
but
yet.
I just don't, like I said, I'm more inclined to be cold and analytical. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say, well, I believe it's God stepping in and doing what a heavenly father can, then earthly father can't. Mm-hmm. And this is his way of providing and that kind of thing. And he can do that through everything. He used everything that my dad did to do that. Now, does that mean that my dad isn't talking to him and asking him to do these things, or that he's not interfering in earthly ways? I have no idea. But I know many people do think that way, and I'm not against it. But it's just not what I would, and it wouldn't be my first thought. It would be my point of view, my perspective would be that God's doing it because that's who he is. And he's the best father that can be. So he knows exactly what we need. Mm-hmm. And he knows us more intimately than my dad would, which is a crazy thought that someone would know you more intimately than someone who's your own DNA, mm-hmm. right? That you're half of you is them. Someone would know you more intimately than that. So that's.
Well,
that's
the greatest thing about God is that he only takes our physical beings and he allows our souls to remain, to be in heaven, which heaven is a thin veil away from mm-hmm. earth. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that that he's with you. And I hope that through your faith that you grow to feel him with you and that you know that it's God is always present and living inside you, but your dad's sitting right next to you. So that's just how I feel about it.
What kind of advice could you give kids coming up? They lose their parent, they get put in a situation kind of, there's no other situation similar to yours, but their kids going through some tough times.
Their grief.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I can, the greatest gift you could ever do give somebody is to introduce them to Christ, because he changes everything. And that's kind of the whole point. And it sounds cliche, but when you have a kingdom perspective, when you see the world more closely as if you're seeing it through God's eyes, then you can look at the things that are happening to you as temporary. You know, your family member that you lost is not gone forever. You can see them again. Mm-hmm. And so for someone with, let's just say, an atheistic worldview, they would look at me and feel so sorry for me that I would have lost such a great relationship. And I would look at them and I'd say, I'm going to grieve that I can't see him now, but I'm going to see him again, you know? Mm-hmm. So why do I really have to worry when I have an eternity of joy ahead of me? And to give somebody else the gift of thinking and feeling that way is the best gift you could possibly give. So I would tell whatever kid is hurting and going through something like that is that Jesus has the ability to change that and to give you that kingdom perspective to see things through his eyes, to see yourself the way he sees you and see the value in you and your situation and to provide so much joy in your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you have or don't have physically, you can live joy because of your kingdom perspective.
Hey, I've also got a quick question for you real quick. So What would you say to, I guess, anybody out there who may want to end their life because they think that my life might be better without them?
I have a lot of thoughts around that. I would start by saying God doesn't make accidents. So when he made you, he did it intentionally. He knows exactly what he was doing, and he knows exactly how he can use you. And so there's a number of ways you can look at that. The first thing that comes to my mind is you don't want to be the one saying, God, I'm going to take this tool from your hands. I'm going to take my own life, which you could use to benefit me and so many others, and I'm going to take that away from you and not let you use that. Another thing is there are so many people, whether you realize it or not, so many people that no matter how close you are to them, that care so deeply about you and value just your existence and that you're there and that you're present at all matters so much to them. And it's selfish to take that from them. To not let somebody enjoy you is a gift that you would take from them. You have the ability to choose joy, to choose life and happiness, and things that are easy aren't worth celebrating. So what that means is that when you do the hardest thing you can possibly do and you choose life and you choose to get back up and stand up and dust yourself off and get back in the fight, that you're doing something that's worthy of celebration and happiness and doing the hard thing and living out a life that glorifies God regardless of how hard it could have been, can bring so much joy.
What's your go-to verse?
My go-to verse is Galatians 6:9. So if I sign anything, that's what I write. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And then verse 10, therefore, do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the body of believers. That's part of what plays into our suicide conversation is the joy that you can reap from not giving up, from never quitting, is so valuable and it means so much.
Taya, do you want to ask that question?
Yeah, so I feel like sometimes, Colton, especially in the service community, when people feel suicidal, they feel like their family would be better off without them, right? So I love everything you said about suicide. It's so true. And what about the person that goes, but not me? Nobody enjoys me right now because I'm short-fused, I'm angry. They would just be better off without me, and they can just get another person. They can get another husband, they can get another father, but I'm not in a good state of mind right now. Nobody could enjoy me. I just want to take me out of the equation.
Yeah, that's obviously a very difficult feeling to feel about yourself. I remember playing ball just after my dad was killed, and someone that I thought I was close to said, just don't ever forget that you have one dad, as if somebody else would come in and replace my dad. And so let's say my mom had gotten remarried. It would be impossible to feel like I would have another earthly dad, because you can get a new husband, you know, you can have a stepfather, or you can have another kid, or you can remarry. You can do any number of things, these things that changes your legal status, but that's not what's important, is that that's the person of who my dad was. So it's the person of who you are and everything that's unique about you that, if you were to remove yourself, you're removing the only you. And that's when people love you, that's who they care about, is you. They don't care that you're just a husband, that you're just a warm body, that you're just this or just that, but that you're entirely unique and you bring a different light to people's lives than you may realize.
I like it. So in order to help you grow this American Sniper brand, how can people find you or see what you're adding to the brand, look at your website? What's your social media handles and your website?
Okay, so americansniper.com is the website, and on Instagram it's americansniper.brand. On Facebook it is American Sniper Brand, or Chris and Taya Kyle. So it's facebook.com/americansniperbrand or Chris and Taya Kyle. Facebook's name being difficult with the name changes, so that's what that is for. And then my personal brand is at Colton Kyle Official. No spaces, no capitals, no nothing on Instagram. So that'll be me. American Sniper will be American Sniper focused, and there'll be some, you know, in between.
Well, I'm already impressed with who you are at 19, and I've watched you grow from when you were an itty bitty kid, and I'm so excited to see the next chapter of your life.
Thank you.
So.
Hey, can I ask Colton one more question? Do you think that Marcus should run for office?
Girl, you know better than that. Why would you even bring up such a blasphemy?
Come on, Colton. What should he do?
Well, I would love to see your influence used in the...
You've already thought about this.
Well, I'm just saying, I know who you are and I know what you care about. And I would love to see that influence. I don't think we have enough of that. And I think you know that. But like I said, people's giftings are different. And so it's wherever you're going to do the most good and where your time is best spent.
Yeah, but you got to outdo Morgan.
Well, I think Morgan is designed for that realm.
Yeah.
And then my concentration is on the kids.
Yeah.
Like I really enjoy turning around and saying something that's positive, motivating to the kids. My brother can't speak like that. He has to yell at adults, acting like kids. Mm. And I don't think I have the tolerance for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know how I'm made, and people are like, you'd be great. And I'm like, look, there's something inside of me that can come out and you won't see.
So I would say if anyone wanted to write Marcus's name into the ballot governor of Texas.
Why don't you run for it? Wait, Taya Kyle's the one who used to be the freaking, whatever. You're going to throw me under there? You better be with me.
For governor of Texas.
Yeah, I'll be your lieutenant governor or something. But
opposite.
He will accept if you write his name, but we are not running a campaign.
I'm not trying to raise these kids. Yeah. My hat's off to all of our politicians and people in office that have families that try to, my brother's one of them.
You know who else is super impressive and she doesn't really get any limelight at all is a congresswoman from Louisiana, Julia Letlow. She lost her husband. He actually got elected and he died during the year of COVID quarantine. That was when he was elected. And I think he only served like 2 months. He died, a special election came up, and she ran, and she has two, toddlers, and she manages it with two little kids.
She's cool.
She reminds me of you, Taya, just very squared away, puts her priorities with her family, but she can also run shit. So there are good politicians out there. And Morgan, obviously, being one of them. Julia, people like that are just really good. And then there's some that have been in forever that are complete sleazeballs.
Should there be an age limit on president? Should there be a cutoff, an age limit? Like you can't run for president after age this?
I think there definitely needs to be an age limit and cognitive testing.
The age thing... The cognitive thing, definitely.
I don't think...
And I don't think you should be able to die in office. You know what I'm talking about? From age. we had that happen the last couple years. We've all witnessed that. I just think we might want to address it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, y'all, I'm not trying to start a fight. You know, everybody's worked up. Man, let's just... Might need to address some things. I love this place, and I love our people, man, but sometimes, you know...
If you work for a Fortune 500 company, you're automatically retired at 65 years old. So why would you let someone older than that run our country?
I get it. You look at them, stability. I completely understand that. But
you would think that we wouldn't vote for somebody that doesn't have cognitive function, that we would need the testing.
Yeah. Well, I think it happened while they were in there.
I'm just saying in general.
All right, cool.
All right, Colton, it was great having you on, and we're just thrilled to see what you do in the next chapter.
Fun.
Yeah,
for sure.
We've been blessed to be able to watch you grow, you know, this whole time, but now the world gets to see you, and we're excited about that.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. I absolutely love seeing you guys.
Great job, Taya.
Good work.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For your first one.
Yep.
First one down.